The cotton mill is in full swing. The machinery hums along within a warehouse easily a couple of hundred metres long. The raw cotton is cleaned and progressively makes its way across the warehouse. There's an array of machines, taller than people, that are continually spinning this cotton until it becomes the thread the owners are seeking. As all this happens, there's barely a person in sight. This facility, outside Ningxia's capital, Yinchuan, is practically fully automated.
It could be the first in the world to have, you know, fully automatic, controlled by the computers.
Shangdong Rui owns this facility and nine others. The development is so new that just two of the warehouses are operational, with the rest due to come online within the next year. It's the same company that attracted headlines in Australia when it purchased the 93,000-hectare Queensland property, Cubby Station. The rise of cheaper textile labour in Bangladesh and Cambodia priced China out of this market. Now, China's plan is to lure contracts back to create clothing in factories that use technology that replace the need for workers. The facility's administrator, Hao Jianxin, again through a translator.
Textile industries in the eastern coast, some of them, you know, are very outdated. You know, they have very old-fashioned factories and old-fashioned, you know, workers, you know, doing this kind of manual labor. But China is very big. This textile industry is labor-intensive. We still need this industry. And we have to, you know, put clothes on, you know, this 1.3 billion people. And that's why, you know, this textile industry is still being seen as a strategic sector.
In many ways, this facility reflects the modernization agricultural industries in China are going through. To the east of Beijing, New Zealand giant Fonterra runs a dairy farm for domestic consumption. To the south in Yunnan province, Australian company Lynch Group works with around 100 local farmers to grow carnations and roses for export back to Australia. In a nearby Ningxia industrial estate, a new meat processing plant will start importing halal beef and mutton from Australia, which local workers will repackage into Chinese cuts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just landed at Beijing Capital International Airport, Terminal 3.
Back in Beijing, agricultural officials are happy to brief reporters, but decline requests to record what they say. The ministry's Dr. Shen Guyin says China's growing middle class is having a huge impact on the foods people eat. China's population is around 1.3 billion and is expected to hit 1.5 billion by 2020. In that year, the middle class is expected to include 500 million people. Walking around the city, and it's clear while many are getting ahead, this is still a country with people living on less than a dollar a day. Government officials say the country's growing wealth is lifting its poorest citizens out of destitution. Here, the poverty line is regarded as an annual income of 2,300 RMB, or about 400 Australian dollars. At the end of last year, 70 million people were living in poverty, down from 130 million people the year before. The Chinese government says it will eradicate poverty by 2020. Now, many of the poorest people are farmers, a group of people Dr. Shen says are far from pleased with the looming free trade agreement with Australia.
So after the free trade agreement is signed, we expect that China's dairy industry is going to suffer a lot. Your dairy producers are a lot more competitive than China's. You have better lands and most of the cows are free range. They eat the grass and it is very cheap. Here in China, it is so expensive. It's already pushing up the prices. So when the free trade agreement is signed, we expect to import a lot of dairy products from Australia. I think China is sacrificing the dairy sector to promote free trade.
Australian farmers are clearly targeting China's middle class, cutting business from domestic farmers. Just months ago, dairy farmers were pouring their milk down the drain and slaughtering cattle because they couldn't find markets to sell their products. Despite the perception, farmers here are improving their practices, particularly with wheat and corn. These improvements come as Chinese grain and pork consumption decline. Mutton, beef, fruit and vegetable consumption is on the up. About half of the Chinese workforce is involved in primary production. Officials expect this number will decline as children of farmers continue to leave their family property bound for cities.
Well, up till now we have probably more than 200 million people on the move, meaning shifting from rural sectors into urban sectors, participating in manufacturing and service industries. The growth of this migrant population is coming down. So we are looking at wage increase in urban sectors of migrant workers. But it's still a very important workforce.
Economist Sherry Tao Kong says greater public health and pension services are helping to keep farmers going. The hope is if more people transition out of farming and into higher incomes, there'll be more tax the government can collect and potentially use to support the most disadvantaged. The expectation is a more efficient farming sector will require fewer people to feed the country.
So a lot of rural areas are now urbanizing, so they will shift from agriculture-based communities to maybe service and more so service-based communities. So there's a development of a township and smaller-sized cities, and so that will be a major force. So urbanization at the moment, in Chinese case, will be around 50%, just over 50%. There's still a very large room for urbanization to take place, and the economic return for that is enormous, and that certainly is a direction for development.
On these busy Chinese streets, there's a world of opportunities for Australian companies. It's now just a matter of them coming and seizing it.